First of all, disclaimer, I'm not the pastor. Both Pastor Ben and Pastor Rob are out at camp this morning. I believe there was 200 people registered, so it's going to be a very full building there. And so may God bless them this morning. Phil Cann is speaking, and that they have a really good service. So this morning, how's your mind? Did I die? No, I'm good. Oh, sorry. Anybody between the ages of 4 and 10, if you want to be dismissed for children's church. Thank you. How's your mind this morning? Really good? Good. Obviously, mine's not. And Vera, you don't look like you're 4. Concentration. Clarity. Equanimity and compassion. These are the four, what they call the four muscles of the brain. And together, they support overall our health, our well-being. But like our physical body, they also need to be exercised. Improving their mental muscle takes time, patience, and consistency. Your thoughts influence the way you feel and behave, the way we think about something, and what greatly affects our emotions and our actions. Saw a thing the other day, and they were talking about our mind and the ability to multitask. Can we multitask? And I can't remember whether it was Mythbusters or some other group. And so they took people, and they put them in a car, and they drove a course. Then they started adding more and more complex things to that course, and they started adding math equations. They started adding video. And what they determined by the end of it is that we don't multitask. They said our brain processes just faster. And they said as they started finding gaps, the more they had to do, they started finding gaps. The processor was starting to get caught up to them. It's like a computer. You could break down a computer, and the same with our minds. So it's our brain, how fast it thinks, the processes that go on in it that control everything in our body. It says the average person generates 48.6 thoughts per minute. 70,000 thoughts per day. And that's about one thought almost every second. That's 12 seconds. Where'd you go? Some of you are probably looking at me wondering if I had a stroke. Some of you are looking at somebody across the aisle. What's he wearing? That guy hit him and didn't comb his hair today. Or did your thoughts just take you somewhere else? If we were to break down our thoughts, what would occupy most of your time during the day? What were the things that you would spend most of your time thinking about, pondering? What would be your happy place that you go to most often? And if it was possible, it'd be interesting to be able to, at the end of the day, have a log of all our thoughts, everything that we took down, everything that we thought about, what topics we were thinking about. A couple of weeks ago, I stopped by here at the church, Thursday morning, I think it was. The parking lot was full. Right away, what on earth is going on? I wasn't invited. But anyways, as I was heading into the church, I realized it was kids' camp. And so the parking lot was full. People were there. I stopped by and talked to Nancy for a few minutes. And while we were there, they must have been just cooking their lunch because, man, it smells good. And did you know the best ice cream I ever had was in Cuba? If you ever go to the Olive Garden and you get their bread, oh, it's just incredible. I'm not sure what Trump's doing this week. I'm not sure what's happening with the weather. Have I paid my insurance this week? Did Nancy just say something? Welcome to my brain. I'm not sure if yours is that much different. And that brings the next question. What are we doing here? We process so much information every single day, constantly. And I know each one of us has a strong desire to do well in life, to maximize our potential. And hopefully this includes the desire to emulate our Creator. I'm not here this morning with any magic formulas how to process all these things, how to get you through all your day with your mind. But I do believe there's a path that ends well and will leave us with a lasting legacy. And it starts somewhere between our two ears. It's our mind. And the Bible speaks often about the power of the mind and the thoughts. It's easy to overlook. For instance, the connection between thoughts and transformation. Most of us here are Christians this morning. How did we get to that point? There's a lot of thoughts that went into that process. There is an unhealthy relationship that we've had forever with science. Faith and science have not seen good friends. They've been at odds. And yet, for instance, I think science, they've connected a long time ago that the mind controls transformation. More and more science is confirming what Scripture has said, not necessarily contradicting Scripture. Scientific findings, actually the evidence that support the existence of a God or creator, something that has put this universe into place, something that maintains it, finally tuning it so that nature continue to exist. These arguments suggest a transcendent intelligence. But unfortunately, science doesn't give credit to God. They can't prove God, so they're still looking. And I find every time we get closer to another planet, they say that, now we're going to find the meaning of life, our existence of life. They're continually looking, but it is God that we get life from. Our minds are powerful. Our thoughts shape who we are, and our thoughts shape who we will become. A couple of scriptures throughout that I'm going to share with you. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you might choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. This invites a question. Is love, joy, peace, happiness a coincidence? Is it something that depends on our circumstances? Or is it something that we have a choice for? Something that we could choose? Can we choose those blessings? And I'm going to pick on the old guy that's usually sitting at the back door. Not here today. Wednesday, he turned 100. Bonus. And asked him the question, if he wanted to live or die. Even though things are failing, his eyes are going, his hearing's going, he has ulcers on his legs, fair amount of pain, said that for years. He's right now got water buildup, so he's on pills for that. But his answer to me, he said, I want to live. I love life. I love people. I love the opportunity just to share with people. The choice is ours, what we want. Hopefully we'll make the right choice. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you in a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Changing the way you think changes your perspective, which changes how you should act and how we should respond to people. Paul's words weren't new. Jesus said in his first sermon that he preached in Matthew, he says, change your mind. Jesus challenged people to change the way they think, because regardless how many times you read the Bible, how many times you read the Scripture, if you don't make the choice in your mind, if you don't change that, those verses will become nothing. They will become just your biases or some biases that you put on them or labels that you put on them. We have the opportunity to make that choice. Exodus 34:7 says, I lavish unfailing love to thousand generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents on the children and grandchildren, and the entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations. Sort of a haunting verse that speaks of directly the power of our thoughts. Not only do you shape your life, but you shape your kids and their kids. You shape those people that you've been in contact with. And again, science proves the validity of Scripture. Science has confirmed this truth. With their studies, They said that a lot of the stuff that is passed down is from their parents. And they said even in the point where they still have not been conceived, they're still in the womb, they're learning, they're hearing. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to be obedient to Christ. Take every thought captive. How's that working for you? Everybody still with me this morning? To be totally honest, there's days I get lost here. What did that pastor just say? What was his thought? But it's easy for us with all the thoughts that are happening, all the things that are going on in our life. It's easy to get lost sometimes with our thoughts. But it is possible. If we trust God's word, we know that it is possible to have our thoughts captive. The answer to capturing our thoughts is in Scripture. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. The powerful effects of prayer and meditation and just having that relationship with God, spending time with Him. Will change everything. If we don't, if we allow our emotions to run, if we allow our thoughts to run wherever, if we allow them to continually control our thoughts, it'll hinder our relationship. It'll tear us down. We need to be spending time with our Creator. We need to be spending time with God. Psalms 23:7. If someone thinks within himself, so he is. We were created in the image of God, full of love and grace. What might happen if we believed that and lived that in our own life? This brings us to Philippians 4, 8, and 9, where I want to begin my message. So hang on. We've got lots of time. We're early. Don't have to worry about lunch yet. Philippians 4, 8, and 9 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and God of peace will be with you. How many times have you heard a minister say, finally, last point, ending here. Now you know what's biblical, scriptural. It's right out of the Bible, finally. So next time you hear it, just remember, he's quoting scripture. People who are different understand Philippians 4:8. They choose love. They choose to see themselves in the image of God. They seem to see that in other people. They choose good. They choose to eliminate negativity. They choose life and positivity and to be positive. Our life is not to be like Eeyore. Woe is me. Nobody loves me. All is sad. Our life is to be exciting. Our life is to be challenging. Our life is to be positive. What you choose will determine your reality. You have the power to change reality by shifting your focus. I remember a song years ago we used to sing, be careful little eyes what you see, be careful little ears what you hear, be careful little hands what you touch. Very powerful message in that little song. It controls our life if we let it. Chapter 4 of Philippians is Paul's final chapter to the Philippian church. And it's his closing appeal to the states there to be steadfast and to live in unity. If you look at the first 6 verses in the chapter, he talks about standing firm. He talks about living in harmony. He says, help Euodia and Syntyche to live in harmony. Sorry, I probably butchered those names. But he also talks about rejoicing. He talks about being gentle. And he talks about not worrying. And he talks also about praying. And how do we accomplish that? That's where he takes us into verse 8. He says, whatever is true. I've said before that true social is not true, is not truth. And almost any time that when you hear or have social and media in the same sentence, beware of what you're listening to. There's what is actually true in there. caught a discussion about AI the other day. And I guess the question was asked, is AI going to replace our doctors? Because I guess now with AI, you could get online, ask AI any question you want. You could ask about your health. You could plug in all your symptoms, tell them all the things you got, and AI will come back with a solution. But the doctor that was there, or the computer tech, I'm not sure which one answered that, but they said, need to beware. They said, AI will come back with a solution, but it may not be correct. AI searches the internet and finds solutions or finds the symptoms or finds whatever you need and gives it back to you. It may not be what you need. It may be what it found. I remember at work, I had a guy there and I was trying to find the code on a Milwaukee battery. What did all the numbers and letters stand for? Trying to figure that out so that someone asked about the data or whatever and that's all in there. So I asked one of the other guys, one of the young guys, and he says, computer's got AI, just ask AI. So he just punched in the AI. Come back with something about Milwaukee, but it wasn't nothing about the code. And so I plugged the same question into Google, and it came back with the answer. So beware that AI is not going to solve all our problems. It's not infallible. It's not going to be able to accomplish maybe what we hope it does. But whatever is true is what we need to be focusing on. Truth is whatever conforms to the gospel and the revelation of God's will in His Word. Truth is whatever conforms to objective reality. Sadly, increasing numbers in our society today have the notion that there is no objective universal truth. Many of them, their truths are what individuals believe themselves. Truth for them is subjective. It's whatever I feel is true. Whatever I want to be true is true. And that goes with as many individuals for ideas that they have. But unfortunately, it's false. Yes, it's someone's reality, but it's not the truth. Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. He also made the promise in John 16, verse 3. He said, When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Whatever is true, think about this. Think about the truth that we find in God's Word. The truth about God, the truth about God's love for us, the truth about what God has taught us and the things that He has encouraged us to do, the things that God has provided for us. And if you look through Scripture, it's full of promises. It's full of things that have come to pass. It's full of things that God has given us and has the Scripture ever let you down? Have you ever found Scripture to be false? Have you ever found errors in Scripture? God's Word is the truth. That is the only truth. And what Paul is teaching the Christians thought their thought life should be focused on the great truths of Scripture, on the great truths of what God has. What prophecy has not come to pass? Thousands of prophecies have come to pass. There's still some in Scripture that haven't been fulfilled yet and will be. It also said, think on whatever is honorable, noteworthy. Whatever is worthy of respect, think about these things. Have you noticed that the people that are most exemplified on the news or in books or on TV are those that are dishonorable? Those are the people that seem to be published most. Those are the people that we seem to hear about the most. And we're supposed to be focusing on the honorable. We need to search out and find those honorable people. You may know some of those in your life. You may know somebody that's honorable. My suggestion is that you learn from them. Listen to what they're saying, how they're talking. Watch how they act. And then considering following in their footsteps as they follow Christ. And hopefully that one day, maybe we'll all be in that place where we'll be honorable, that someone will be able to provide hope, we'll be able to provide love, we'll be able to provide for somebody else. Psalm 16:3 says, As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble, in whom all is my delight. The question this morning, is my life the one that God delights in? As Christians, we should lead a tranquil and quiet life, all in godliness and dignity. Paul said, whatever is just, What is right? Justice and righteousness are two things. Seems again in our society we don't see a lot of justice. We hear a lot of cries about the injustice, about our systems, about our world. On a daily basis, we hear so much negative. But we're to pursue justice and righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But how do we seek if we're not thinking about them? How do we think about them if we don't know them? The psalmist said, he teaches, take delight in the law of the Lord, and on the law meditate day and night. Spend time thinking about those things that are just and right, how to strive after them, and how to make them more common in my life. So whatever is pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said. The psalmist wrote, truly, God is good to the upright, to those who are pure in heart. But can we have purity in heart? How can we keep our way pure? Paul, when he was writing this letter, he was in jail. And he uses a term here, guard, guarding it according to God's word. We could keep our life pure if we guard ourselves, if we guard what we're inputting. Be careful what we think about. Just before the verse in Philippians, Paul reminds us that when we remain faithful in our ways and turn to God in prayer, we receive the God of peace, which guards our hearts and our minds. Paul, remember, as he was writing, I think he had guards around him all the time. He knew what a guard did. He knew what was allowed for the guard. The guard kept him in. Guards kept other things out. And that's the same tone that he's using when we talk about guarding our hearts, remaining pure. We need to guard that. And he realizes that he has a God of peace with him that is truly guarding him and protecting him, guarding his heart, guarding his mind, guarding the things he thinks about, guarding the things that he does. For us that are older, not old, just older, we can remember when there was no computers, when we weren't inundated by information all day long, lots of it negative, lots of it poor, lots of it wrong, lots of it super negative. And for us, I look at today's society. Computers are there. My grandkids, 6 years old, know how to get into my phone and computer and do what they need to do, go anywhere they want. And I think it was tough growing up being pure. Now I think it's a lot tougher because there is so much negative information out there, so much negativity in our society. But it is possible through Christ. It is possible when we guard our mind and keep our thoughts pure before God. What is pleasing? Whatever is pleasing, whatever is lovely. And this is not just whatever is pleasing and loving to us, but it's what is pleasing and loving to God. In Ephesians, Paul said, try to find what is pleasing to the Lord. And regardless of where we are, we're at work, whether you're golfing, whether you're shopping, whatever it is, what are we thinking about as we're shopping? Who do we run into? Who are we talking to? What is pleasing to God? We need to be challenging ourselves wherever we are to be a Christian at all times, to be able to think of God's word and to be able to share, to be able to talk in a wholesome way to somebody, to be kind, to be gentle, to be guiding. Think of a way that is pleasing to God. Seek after goodness and righteousness. Think and speak and live in a way that is pleasing to God. Whatever is commendable and worthy is admirable. If there's any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, these are the things that God tells us to think about. The psalmist ends in 150. He said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise God. The Psalms end with these words, reminding that we always need to be praising God. Paul in his letter said, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. This was his attitude while he was in prison. Paul thinks about these things. He chooses to think about these things. And by thinking about them, Paul receives the grace of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding. He was at peace while he was in prison. Jesus said, a peace I leave with you. He said, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Think about these things. Guard your heart, guard your mind. Allow God to work. Philippians 4:8-9 remind us that the church in Philippi reminds us the importance of Christian thinking, reminds of controlling our mind. Your mind is always, okay, I'll use myself, my mind is always in a battlefield. There's always so many things going on. There's always so many thoughts going on. See that scroll over there? Just went by well. Things distract so easily and so quickly that sometimes it feels really tough to spend that time that I need to and spend the time that I need to be thinking about the things of God. But wherever, whatever we're doing, wherever we are, control those thoughts. Keep captive of those thoughts. Paul listed essential characteristics for Christian thought. These are not just a helpful suggestion to help us get through the day, whatever it is. But these are the things, the characteristics that we should be dwelling on, meditating on. These are the things that we should be thinking on as Christians who love God. Also, something may be true, but does that make it honorable? Does that make it lovely? We have a lot, like I say, there's a lot of things that are true in our society and in our life that go on from day to day. But if they don't line up with the other characteristics that Paul has mentioned here, they may be just a truth that has no real value in life, has no future. So we need to be able to filter out what is of God, what is of God's scripture. Where is God? Is this God talking or is this someone else that's going on? We need to filter those thoughts out. Get rid of the ungodly thoughts and replace them with God's thoughts, scriptural thoughts. Paul wrote, meditate on these things and make sure that we test them to make sure they're the correct thoughts. Paul wrote, the things which you learned and received and heard and sent to me, these do. Our minds are constantly thinking about something. Left to our own devices, it's usually something that will make us worry, something that will make us anxious, something that will lead us in the wrong way. Our Heavenly Father knows this and gives us a command. Take every one of these thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Put this truth into practice in our life. When you do these things, God makes you a promise. He says, at a glance, it seems that God's promise is that he will give you peace. This would be great, a great promise, but it's actually better than that. Look closely at verse 9, and you'll see the promise is not that God's peace will be with you, but it says the God of peace will be with you. Two statements very similar, but not identical. The promise in verse 9 includes peace, but the focus is on the promise of God dwelling within us. God will give you peace, that is true, but he will be with you as you put these things into practice. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your situation, regardless of what is happening in your world at the time. You'll never have a joyful, enduring faith if you surrender to that battlefield that's going on in your life. Take your thoughts captive, place your trust in Jesus, and let him and the God of peace be with you. These are two more important commands that we need to do. The peace of God will guard us. And the God of peace will guide us. Verse 8 says thinking right. Verse 9 talks about doing. One should follow the other. Sounds very simple. It is, but it's going to take work. It's going to take time. It's going to take consistency in our life. So this morning, I'll call the group up to play again. So we look at life as a whole. Life is sometimes really difficult, but it doesn't have to be that way. If we follow Paul's commands here, if we follow Paul's suggestions, his characteristics, we will be able to find a peace in life. We'll be able to see beyond our circumstances and the events that are happening around us. Christianity is more than believing in God. It's having a relationship with Him. It's about controlling our mind and then transforming our life. It's about building up and encouraging others. It's about finding peace and hope. In every circumstance, it's about experiencing the peace of God in His presence as He dwells within us. So my challenge you here this morning is, as you evaluate your own mind, where you're at, what's happening, what's going on during the day, what's happening with you, are you able to spend time during the day, no matter where you are, just reflecting on Scripture, reflecting on God, remembering the good things, remembering to think positively? God can see you through, and God will. And let me encourage you this morning as we go out that we take that time to know God, to develop that relationship with Him. Like anything else, when you have a relationship with a person, you don't leave them at home and that's the last time you talk to them until the next time you come home. You do things with them. You travel with them. You eat with them. God wants to be part of our life. And it will change the way you view things. So let me encourage you with that. Let's close in prayer. Father, again, we thank You this morning for Your word. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. Father, that You sent Your Son that we may have life. And Father, in today's world, I pray that You help each one of us to be able to control our thoughts and our minds, to control the direction. Father, that when we reach and meet people, Father, that we'll be able to share and share it with them, Father, the opportunities that we have, what You've given us. And Heavenly Father, I'm not sure what everybody's going through here this morning, but I pray, Father, that if they're in a difficult time or if they don't know You, now's the opportunity, Father, for them to be able to just lay it at the altar, to give it to You, to accept You as their personal Savior. Father, I ask that You just challenge each one of us. Father, help us to be more like You in everything in which we do. Father, we ask this in Your wonderful name. Amen.